Looking to transform your family game nights? At Perfectly Picked Games, we specialize in family games that bring everyone closer. Our games aren't just fun. Kids and teens will learn how to take turns, develop basic strategy skills, and understand the thrill of winning and grace of losing. With our exclusive gift of games, you can give months of gaming excitement to your family. Choose a 3-month or 6-month gift, and we'll deliver hand-picked family games to your doorstep every month. And here's the best part. Right now, you can use the promo code GOLDENMOJO and receive 20% off your selected plan. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. Use promo code GOLDENMOJO and save 20% today at Perfectly Picked Games.
Jump into the Wayback Machine and go back to the 80s. I am your host, Golden Jay, and with me, as always, Frankie Vegas.
Hello.
And we are here to take you back to the greatest decade ever. So let's begin.
Let's do it.
Loaded up the flux capacitor. Yeah, I don't even know. I think I've used that one too many times.
Hey, jump in your Wayback Machine, your DeLorean, your phone booth.
Oh, shit. We could be excellent to each other.
Be excellent to each other. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, we need to get to that badly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That was my number one buddy movie on the Call Guys when I did that episode with them, the genre series.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted.
Wasn't that Chico Noises?
It also was Chico's, yeah. I knew when I wrote it down, I knew it was going to be his. But, yeah, we share a brain when it comes to Bill and Ted.
Excellent.
It is such a great movie. I don't know if you guys have listened to or watched it, but it's a fun movie. I like the second one, too. The third one, you know, the face, the music one, I don't know.
It was okay for nostalgia purposes, exactly. But that's about it.
Speaking of nostalgia, I did just watch The Flash.
The Flash.
You know, it's now streaming on whatever, what is it, Disney Plus, I think. You know, it's a year or so old or whatever, but I finally got around to watching it. Are you into the superhero movies at all?
I used to be.
Back when, like, Spider-Man first came out?
Yeah, but I got tired of hearing different origin stories, you know. I'm like, okay, what universe is this again, you know? Especially with Marvel, you know, it just...
Well, yeah, you start killing off characters and then realize you made a fucking mistake, so now you got to figure out how to bring them back. It's like, oh, we have the multiverse, so it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. You know, we'll just bring him back, a different one. But, yeah, he's the same actor, so it's okay. The Flash had a ton of cameos in it. That's all right. Like, they had Nick Cage as Superman in one of the universes, or one of the timelines, which was really cool to see Nick Cage in the Superman outfit and his long, flowing hair. Michael Keaton came back as Batman.
I remember that. Yeah.
Which was awesome to see fucking Michael Keaton. Because, I'm Batman. Who else was in there? Christopher Reeves. They had Christopher Reeves in it.
Oh, really?
You know, they had an AI of him and the girl that played Supergirl about that same time. I can't think of her name right off the top of my head. But but I think the big thing was they ran three different Batman. So it starts off with Ben Affleck. And then, of course, Frankie's look on his face. it started off with Affleck. And that little Gal Gadot was in there, you know, as Wonder Woman. And then when he screwed up and changed the whole orient, then we got Michael Keaton's Batman. And then when he fixed it, you'd end up with George Clooney in the end as, you know, Batman. And it was like, okay, I love what they did with this. It's just kind of fucked up, but it was pretty great.
Hey, I like George Clooney's Batman. Okay?
Did you really? I did. Like the worst Batman ever.
See, I thought it was the best one.
Really?
I did.
You couldn't get any more cartoonish than that one.
It had Alicia Silverstone in it. What else do you want?
Her and Christina Aguilera together? I don't know. Throwing a little Miley in there? We might. No, listen. I remember when that came out, and I was all about it because Alicia Silverstone was in it, and I was had a huge crush on her. I believe that movie ruined her career.
I don't know that she really ever had a career before that.
Well, she was the Clueless thing.
Okay, that's it.
She had Clueless.
The Aerosmith videos.
Well, that's true too. But, but I mean, she was a rising star at that time, and that's why she got that role, because she was, you know, on the up and up. And I think that really just kind of, I think the bottom fell out of whatever career that she might have had going forward. But
I didn't think it was that bad of a movie. I'm sorry, I just didn't. I don't know why everybody hates on that one.
The Golden Image 80s at gmail.com.
Hey, please let me know. I mean, I.
Colton's going to be emailing again.
Yeah, that's fine. Let us know, Colton. No, but I mean, you know, you had George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, mm-hmm.
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
Uma Thurman.
Yep. And Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone, you know.
Yeah. Oh no! The cast when it came up, the cast was like, "Fuck yeah, I can see this." And then, I don't know that I really bought into it. So, there's a lot going on in it, and you know, her was she stealing motorcycles and going racing the motorcycles, or at least Silverstone's character?
I don't remember.
I'd
have to rewatch it.
Oh shit! He's gonna rewatch it. He might go home and watch it tonight.
I'm going to go home and go to bed tonight. That's what I'm going to do.
He's working too hard delivering those pizzas, ladies and gentlemen. Did you, I just got to ask the listeners, did you order Bourbon Street and have Frankie deliver it to your house on Super Bowl Sunday? Just checking.
Yeah.
Make sure you tip him.
Tip me well.
Tip him well. He needs it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all need it, but that's beside the point. But tip him well, ladies and gentlemen. He's working hard out there to get those pizzas to you while they're still warm and hot, fresh, and delicious pizzas.
I'm saving up to buy a Golden 80s hoodie.
There you go. See, he's at saving little pieces of these tips every time he gets one. Or if you're just feeling up for it, you could just buy him a hoodie and send it to him.
Or a T-shirt, that work too.
You never know. What else is going on?
You know, can I tell you a story? On my way here tonight, I stopped up at the gas station here up here in Etna Green. I'm sitting in line. You know, I bought me a couple Mountain Dew Zeros, and the lady in front of me got a $20 bill. And trying to break down how she can put 10 in her gas and how much lottery she can buy. So she got the guy there telling her how much everything cost, what lottery tickets cost what. And I'm like, lady, if you got to break it down like that, sweetheart, you don't need to be buying lottery tickets. You need to reevaluate
your life.
And I'm like, I'm standing in line for like 5-6 minutes, running late anyway.
Right.
Because she got to know what every lottery card cost, what it pays out, blah, 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 you know.
You got 10 bucks, lady. Get $2 $5 lottery tickets and get the fuck out of my way.
That's what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go reevaluate your life.
Exactly. I don't, man, that is horrible. I'm going to tell you, and as you just well said right there, when you're standing in line at a convenience store and you've got somebody doing lottery in front of you, it is the worst fucking moment of your life. Because you're just standing there. And at this point, I'm now evaluating my priorities in life. Why am I fucking standing here for two Mountain Dews and a fucking Milky Way bar?
I had Reese eggs.
There you go. There you go. Wait, doesn't that offset the Mountain Dew Zero to buy the Reese's eggs?
I think this has been discussed before. You cannot turn down Reese.
Oh man. So, have you tried the new Reese's cups with the caramel in them?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Not a fan?
Not a fan.
I keep seeing the little display cases, and then I reach in and pull one out, and it's not a fucking caramel one. It's something else, and it's like the whole thing is full of other Reese's, and I'm like, well, this is stupid.
Yeah, I've gotten them a couple times. I got them once. I didn't really care for it. I said, well, I'll try it again. Maybe I just wasn't, feeling it that day or something.
Uh-huh.
Got it the second time. I still didn't care for it. So I'm like, nah, I just...
I got to try it one time.
Oh, yeah.
I got to try it one time. I'm a big Reese's guy. I love Reese's.
Oh, yeah. I thought I'd love it. I love Reese's. I love caramel.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I thought, what could be wrong? And it just didn't taste right to me.
I like Reese's. I like caramel. That reminds me of an 80s commercial where your chocolate is in my peanut butter.
Where your peanut butter got in my chocolate. I had forgotten all about that.
When you said that, that's what popped into my fucking head right there. It's like, oh, man. All right, that's the bomb right there.
But, yeah, that just something really kind of irritated me. I'm like, not so much that you're buying lottery because, if you go in there knowing, hey, I want five of this or whatever, okay, that's fine. But when you got to have the cashier sit there and tell you what each thing costs,
and what it pays out.
When the drawings are for the pick fives and stuff like that, and you're trying to put you're only putting $10 of gas, which isn't much anymore.
No, not at all.
In your car. Yeah, life needs to be prioritized a little better for you.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just trying to give you some friendly advice. Uncle Frankie trying to help.
Uncle Frankie.
That's a new segment, Uncle Frankie's Corner.
Oh, Uncle Frankie's. I love it. I got to write that down because now that's going to become a staple on Golden 80s. Uncle Frankie's Corner. Oh, I love it. What would? What's your next segment?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I just thought of that one coming out of the gas station. Nah. Come on,
Uncle Frankie's Corner. I can't wait till next episode to see what Uncle Frankie's Corner has to bring. All right, buddy. What do you got for me today?
For the question of the pod.
80s edition. Suck it, Colton.
Poor Colton. Okay. Let's see here. Let's think of a good one today.
All right. How about
this? You got
this?
One? All right.
How about this? Would you rather see a ghost of a stranger or of someone you love? Wow. These are just creepy questions to get to learn to know somebody.
Let me ask you this.
That's exactly what that sounds like.
I think I would almost want to see like a loved one. But, it's funny because you talk about that, and that brings me back to something you were talking about, one of the questions on Tusop a couple episodes back about dreaming about relatives and stuff. Yep. And I can say, I got some that I do and some that I don't, and it's kind of weird. Like, my mom passed away. I have not had one dream about her.
Really?
Now, my grandparents, I'll dream about them occasionally. My friends that have passed away, I've never dreamt about them that I can remember. So kind of weird. It's kind of weird to me, but kind of brings me back to the same thing. Is I would rather almost see somebody that I know.
Absolutely.
So I can know that they're okay in the afterworld.
It's something we touched on in Tusop. It's nice to get those moments with somebody who is gone, and you always wonder if it is. If it is kind of a paranormal thing of them being in there, if they're there to tell you something or let you know something, or just that they miss you as much as you miss them, and they're just coming back to say hi and phone call. This recording, the day we're recording, we talked about my buddy Donnie. Today would have been his birthday.
Okay.
And, you know, I know that this episode's going to be in the future from where we're at right now, but it's something that that I think about a lot when this day comes around, because I'd always call him or text him or whatever on his birthday, and regardless of whether I'd seen him for 6 months or not or whatever. But, you know, this one's always a tough day to get through. But he's one that he shows up in my dreams a lot, you know, in some of the weirdest things. Like, what the fuck are you doing here? You know, but I would rather see a loved one. That would be that would be my thing. So I think that why would I want to see a stranger?
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, what would you talk about with a stranger?
Yeah.
So we miss our loved ones. Absolutely. Yeah. So.
For me, it makes me wonder, you know, when I'm like, I think, okay, my grandparents I've dreamt about, you know, but like I said, like I've never dreamt about my mom. I haven't dreamt about my friends that have passed away. So I'm like, is there a reason? You know, if you want to get paranormal, are they in a place where they can't come back? You know?
And if you're dreaming about certain ones, are they in a place where they can't get to that next level? You know, I mean, if you think about that, I was always under the impression that once you kind of crossed those pearly gates, that you didn't get to come back, and that a lot of these ghosts and stuff that we've researched and talked about over the years are kind of stuck in that plane where it's between worlds, so to speak. And that's why they're there. They have unfinished business. And so if you're dreaming about a loved one, it makes you wonder. That would be more of a concern for me, is do they have unfinished business that they haven't been able to finish up? And that's kind of why they're there. Is that what they're there to talk to you about? And I haven't had a dream about my dad in years. You know, it's been a long, long time. But so maybe he finished up whatever he was attempting to do, and he's crossed over and to that to the bright. He went through the bright light. I don't know. I mean, it's really funky to think about, because it can go in a lot of different directions.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let me know what you think. TheGoldenImage80s@gmail.com.
TheGolden82Sob.
Frankie keeps saying he hasn't been on an episode of Two Sob. We're trying to get him warmed up.
I got an idea.
You do have an idea.
Yeah. We'll talk to you. I can talk to you about it off air.
Okay.
Other people probably don't care.
All right. We will talk about it. All right, Frankie, we ready to get into today's movie?
Yeah.
All right. Released on March 25th, 1983, this American coming-of-age crime drama film, directed by the one and only Francis Ford Coppola, was an adaptation of a 1967 novel of the same name by S.E. Hinton. It starred, holy shit, the fucking bed.
Oh,
you want to talk about the young and up and comers.
Hollywood.
Yeah. C. Thomas Howell, Rob Lowe, Emilia Estevez, Matt Damon, Tom Cruise. Matt Dillon. I'm sorry. I said Matt Damon, didn't I? I am so sorry. Matt Dillon, Tom Cruise, Patrick Swayze, Ralph Macchio, and Diane Lane, also known as the Brat Pack of the 80s. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about The Outsiders.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this movie, Ben?
You know, I wish I would have got to rewatch it, but I've been so busy that I didn't get to rewatch it. But yeah, I love the movie. I mean, it's a great movie. I mean, obviously the actors in the movie are some of the best, you know, going today, you know.
Well, some are not going anymore.
Yeah, no, some are not. Yep. You know, some have passed on, you know. Love you, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, he's going to start singing the ghost song.
Now that he's going to go Roadhouse.
He's going to go Roadhouse. Listen, I remember watching this movie when I was very young. And I also read the book. It was one of the first books I'd actually ever read. And I think that's what makes this
movie. Never read the book.
It's not much different than the movie, as far as I can remember, because I remember reading books and being like, oh man, this is, you know, there's so much more in the book that's in the movie. But they do a really good job of bringing this movie to life. So why don't you give us a little breakdown of the plot of The Outsiders?
Oh, the plot. Okay, let me. Now, it revolved around the Curtis brothers.
Right.
Their parents had passed away. So the oldest brother, Daryl, but they call him Derry.
Right.
He raises and supports his two younger brothers. They call him Pony Boy and Soda Pop. Yeah, weird names. And this is like taking place in 1965. And were they called the Greasers or something?
Yeah,
like
they
that?
Were the Greasers. Were the Greasers.
Part of a group called the Greasers, and they kind of had their little turf war with the Sox.
The Soche.
Yeah. I couldn't remember what it was called. But like I said, I didn't get a chance to re-watch the movie. And it really just kind of goes about, I think it really, I'm trying to figure out, there's so much little side stories that go in, I don't know which all to put in, you know?
Well, just have at it.
Okay, I'll just go right down here. The Soches, they were the rich guys, the affluent teens, if you will. They harass and assault Pony Boy until some of the fellow greasers chase him off, you know, come, they have kind of a little rumble, you know. Well, the next night, Johnny and Dallas catch a movie at the local drive-in. And I believe it's Dallas. He tried to flirt with one of the Soche girls, Cherry Valance is their name, I believe. And, you know, like that, unsuccessful. Wasn't. Well, they got along. I'm not very good. I'm just trying to remember everything. He leaves after, you know, she basically turns him down. However, Cherry invites Pony Boy and Johnny to sit with her and her friend Marcia.
Marcia.
Well, later, Pony Boy and Johnny are walking the two teen girls home, and their boyfriend, Bob and Randy, take umbrage at this. So the girls leave with them to avoid any escalation of the problem. Okay. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And basically, Pony Boy and Johnny, they walk to an abandoned lot to help Johnny avoid his parents who routinely. My tongue got tired.
That's all right. So it wasn't an abandoned lot. They ended up going to a playground or whatever.
It says abandoned lot.
It says abandoned lot?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. But I thought that they ended up trying to drown Pony Boy in the fountain that was at this park.
Yeah, that happened, but I think what I'm reading, they go there for Johnny to avoid his parents who are routinely violent and bickering and
right.
A lot of stuff like that. So he just likes to stay away from it if he can.
Right. They went to the abandoned lot and they fell asleep, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then they fell asleep, and then Pony Boy awakens a few hours later and rushes home fearing discipline from his older brother.
Right.
You know, basically bitches at him about it and even hits him. Run off, and then he runs off to the local park with Johnny. They climb the jungle gym, reminiscing about their childhood, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because they're so fucking old.
Yeah. Remember back in the day, man. Back when we were kings.
Yeah.
Well, they're confronted, and they're attacked by Bob and Randy and three other of the Socias. Johnny is beaten, and Pony is almost drowned in the park fountain, like what Jeremy had said.
I got a little ahead of myself, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Johnny, okay, is almost drowned in the fountain, and Johnny ends up stabbing Bob and kills him.
Right.
Now, you know, being, you know, scared, oh my God, we just killed a guy. You know, Pony Boy and Johnny find Dallas, and he gives them money for food and a loaded firearm, and then they flee to a town in Oklahoma where they're hoping to hop a train and hide out at an abandoned church. And they play, they dye their hair, play poker, and read Gone with the Wind out loud. I don't know why they would do that, but I guess that was a good book back then.
Well, I think Pony Boy was really into reading, and yeah. Johnny's like, just read it to me. And so they just kind of did that to pass the time.
Yeah. You know, later, they say Dallas visits. He has missed. Directed the police, who are now searching for them in Texas. A note from the from his brother Soda Pop urges Pony Boy to come home, and Cherry is willing to testify on their behalf. While buying food, Johnny favors turning themselves in, but Dallas disagrees. Now they return to the church. They discover that it is on fire with children trapped inside. So,
can we pause there for a minute?
Yeah,
let's pause there for a minute. Why were there a busload of children at this abandoned church?
Oh, there was a reason.
Was there a reason?
Yeah. Weren't they like on a, I don't know if they were on a field trip or something.
I don't know. Something. But why would you take a field trip to an abandoned church?
I don't know if it was a historic.
Oh, it could have been. But it always seemed weird that those kids were there and they started that. Well, I'm assuming they started that fire.
Yeah.
I assume. Allegedly.
They rescue them, but they are burned, and Johnny breaks his back when part of the structure collapses
on him.
Yeah. Pony Boy reunites with his two older brothers in the hospital and then returns home. Their heroic deeds make the front page of the local newspaper, and a judge may send Pony Boy to a boys' home. Disillusioned by the social structure of the two gangs, so Randy Anderson peacefully talked to Pony Boy about the upcoming rumble being ultimately meaningless, and the two parted friends. Associations set aside, Pony Boy and 2-Bit visit Johnny and Dallas in the hospital.
Oh, 2-Bit.
2-Bit.
He was a Mickey Mouse band.
Yeah. Pony Boy asked 2-Bit to buy another copy of Gone with the Wind at the hospital gift shop. I know this sounds terrible, people, and I so apologize. When Johnny's abusive mother comes, he refuses her visit. So she takes out her ire on Pony Boy and 2-Bit, who describes her as a bad mother. Dallas encourages them to win the upcoming rumble sparked by Bob's death for Johnny.
Do it for Johnny.
Get him, Johnny. Get him a body bag. Oh, wait, wrong movie. Wrong Johnny, wrong movie.
Same actor.
Later, Pony Boy meets with Cherry about the trial. She refuses to visit Johnny at the hospital because he killed Bob. Later that night, the greasers including Dallas, who left the hospital, win the rumble. Afterwards, I need to use punctuation. Dallas drives an injured Pony Boy to the hospital to see Johnny. Pony Boy tells him about the greaser's victory, but Johnny is dismissive and dies after telling Pony Boy to stay gold. Enraged and devastated over Johnny's death, Dallas robs the store but is shot by the owner. He calls Daryl to meet him in the park and help hide him. The police arrive first, surrounding Dallas. He commits suicide by cop, pointing an empty firearm at them. The judge exonerates Ponyboy for Bob's death in court and places him in Daryl's custody. Okay. Later at school, Cherry sees Ponyboy and ignores him. He is offered a passing grade by his English teacher if he writes a quality personal experience essay, but is uninspired. Inside Johnny's copy of Gone with the Wind, he finds a letter explaining how saving the children was worth sacrificing his life and advising Ponyboy to never change. Thus, stay gold. Johnny's letter inspired Ponyboy's essay, The Outsiders. The story begins, when I stepped out into the bright sunlight from the darkness of the movie house, I had only two things on my mind, Paul Newman and a ride home. According to Wikipedia.
That's quite the synopsis there, Frankie.
I'm sorry. I just didn't know how to put it all in there without
missing anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's back up. Johnny's parents are just horrible yeah, fucking parents.
They're assholes, basically.
Yeah, and so they do. They take off. You know, he goes home, and he's like, I can't stay here. So they take off, and they go. I'd forgotten. They went to the abandoned lot where they fell asleep, trying to go back. You know, of course, you know, Ponyboy gets in an argument with Daryl, and Derry. And then they leave again. Hence, you know, going to the park. You know, I jumped ahead a little bit because I kept thinking about that damn fountain.
Yeah.
Because, they tried drowning this kid in that fountain because they were drunk. They were both intoxicated. And, you know, Johnny just can't take it. And he snaps. And all you see is a switchblade come out. And the next thing you know, you see a dead body laying on the ground next to Ponyboy, and you know, blood and water everywhere. And I think one of the most iconic pieces of that movie is watching Johnny try to bury that knife in the ground, where he's just like digging at the ground trying to bury that knife, you know, just try to get rid of it, get rid of the evidence, you know. It's one of those moments where, like, he reacted to the situation and then didn't know how to react to what he did, you know, and it was like, this is where I'm at. I need to hide this. We need to do all this stuff. And then going and seeing Dallas at that bar, which was kind of funny, because Dally has this apartment above the bar, and he's like sneaking them in through the bar because they're way underage, it's like, man, what did he say? I thought New York was the only place to get caught up in a murder rap or something like that, you know. But it's Matt Damon and anybody. No, I did it again. Matt Dillon. Gah, it's Matt Dillon. And if anybody knows Matt Dillon, you know that acting style that he has and that voice, and you can almost hear it. It's like, yeah, I thought it was the only place I'm gonna get caught up in a murder rap.
Yep.
And of course, you know, they do. They jump the train. They end up in that town because that's where Dally told him to go, and because he knew of that abandoned church, and he knew that that would be a good place for them to hide. Gave them the money, go into town, get your food, and then just stay inside. Don't come out. They're gonna be looking for you. And they did. They just passed the time by playing cards, smoking cigarettes, and reading Gone with the Wind. Man. And what, you know, I don't know exactly how long did they, what was, they were there like a week or so, weren't they?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
So they have no idea what's going on back in, you know, where they were in, what, Tulsa? I read that. They were in Tulsa, Oklahoma is where the story basically takes place.
Okay.
And, you know, so they had no idea what was going on back in Tulsa. So they just sitting on their hands trying to deal. But once again, Dally shows up, got the cops looking in the wrong direction, takes them out for a bite to eat. You know, let's go get some real food. And they go back to the church on fire, which, once again, I don't know why those kids were in that church. I have no idea.
I can't remember. I wish I would have got a chance to do a rewatch on it. But I just...
It's such a great movie.
I
knew that I would mess up a little bit of the details, but I've seen it so many times that...
Here's a question I got, you know. And I don't know what the social standards were actually like back then, because, you know, that was before my time, in the 60s. But was it really that bad that nobody was going to believe him that it was in self-defense? I mean, were people that divided in that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Think about it. Those guys had a reputation. Now, whether Pony Boy had that reputation, you know, because he was so young, but his older brothers.
Yeah.
You know, Soda Pop worked at the gas station, basically was a high school dropout. Yeah. His brother, Derry, was a construction worker, you know, and they lived on the wrong side of town. They weren't the socialites. That's why they call them the Socias, you know.
Yeah.
The Socias all had money and they did no wrong and, you know, everybody loved them. So who was to believe that this was self-defense? This is some greased up kid from the wrong side of the tracks that just killed one of the socialites. So, yeah, I can see why they would think that they wouldn't be believed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you bring in Dally and you bring in Two-Bit, and I think even at one point when they were at the drive-in, you know, somebody was looking. He's like, "You seen the? Was it Dally or was it Two-Bit? Or was he talking to Two-Bit?" He's like, "You seen him? Because I'm pretty sure he sliced my tires," or, you know, just shit like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were the things that these guys did.
Yeah,
they didn't have money, so they didn't really. I mean, they all snuck in the fucking drive-in. Mm-hmm. They had a spot in the fence in the back, and they would just go walking in. But the socialites weren't any different because during that scene, you see them opening trunks and people falling out of the trunks and shit. So,
have you ever done that?
No.
Neither have I. I'd be too scared to do it. Yeah. I don't know why, but it just would scare me.
They get caught, they just ban you from the fucking drive-in. Who gives a shit? You know, it's like you go see it at the walk-in or whatever. But so, yeah, I can totally see that they would believe that they'd be fucked in the end, but... Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, Johnny goes running back in for the kids and the steeple falls and then Dally goes back in for him. And so he's in the hospital and Johnny's in the hospital and, you know, Pony Boy's the only one pretty much who, you know, he's got some burns and some scratches and bruises, but he's, you know, kind of still doing his thing. But, you know, when Johnny dies and Dallas loses it, so heavily, I think is that point in the movie where you realize that all these guys are a family, even though they're not blood family.
Yeah.
And how much that, you know, he looked out for Johnny and, you know, was supposed to be taking care of him and didn't. And I think that just pushed him over the edge. But, you know, that whole deal where he's running through the park and all the cops are surrounding him and he just points his gun. I mean, we all know it's all empty because they're screaming it. They're trying to get there and tell the cops that it's empty, but it doesn't matter. They gun him down in the middle of the street because of who he is. He's got a loaded, he's got a weapon, even though it was unloaded. It wasn't loaded. He's got a weapon and he is a known troublemaker. So they didn't think twice about it. They shot him dead right there.
Yep.
It's also interesting during the rumble. They talk about it a little bit. The Pony Boy's older brother, Derry, was best friends with the head of the Soch.
Yeah.
And they used to pal around back in high school. And, of course, the separation of who they are, now brings them face to face in a battle in the middle of this abandoned lot. And I think that that's another thing to really bring that story together is, you know, he could have went on to be successful with successful friends.
Yeah.
But since his parents had passed away, he was kind of there to take care of his brothers, which is honorable. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, you kind of go, what could have, what should have, what would have, you know, type of thing. But there's a lot to this movie, a lot of underlying stuff and throughout this movie besides just the main stuff that goes on.
You know, do you think maybe that Derry maybe had a little resentment towards his brothers because he had to take care of them? Is that why he was so hard on them?
No, I think he, you know, this is 1965, and I think that he knew that, well, let's face it, Soda Pop was already a high school dropout, you know, basically working at a gas station, and that was pretty much what he was going to do, where, you know, he still had a chance with Ponyboy to make him more, you know, more successful in life than just, you know, going and working construction with his brother. Because I think he mentions that. He goes, I was going to work construction with you, and they make a comment about not being able to do all that because he smokes too much or something like that. And, you know, it's like, if I find out you're smoking more than a pack a day, I'm going to kick your ass. And it's like, really? That's where we're at with this right now. But, yeah, so I don't think he ever had any resentment. I think he did what he had to do, and he managed it just fine. But I think he pushed his younger brothers to be better than what they were being. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm boring Frankie.
No, not at all. I am just dead tired. Now, do you want to get in? I mean, we talked about a lot who was in the movie, but you want to talk about who they played?
Absolutely, I do. Yeah, you want to run through it?
Yeah, I'll start it out. Ponyboy Curtis. He was played by C. Thomas Howell.
Yes.
And he had done a lot.
My favorite movie of his is called The Hitcher with Rutger Hauer. If you ever get a chance to see that one, it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did Soul Man, where wasn't it something where he had to kind of went under, like, as a black guy to get into a college?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He was in the Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. Andrew Spider-Man saved his daughter from a car going off the bridge, and then later in the movie he helps him get to, I think it was the second one.
Yeah, he was in the Amazing Spider-Man, Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox, Suicide Squad.
Yeah, the guy is a brilliant actor. Yeah, he's been around for a long time, and it's funny, before we started this, I was sleeping through Facebook, and there was a page, you know, a suggestion for you, and it was a Gen X page, and there was a picture of C. Thomas Howell looking into a mirror, and it was the old C. Thomas Howell, you know, gray beard, you know, the whole nine yards, looking at a mirror of Ponyboy sitting there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Hey, the next would be Johnny Cade.
Yep, Johnny.
Johnny.
Do it for Johnny.
Played by Ralph Macchio. We have talked in depth about Ralph Macchio.
We have talked about Ralph a lot. This is actually pre... Is this pre...
Yeah, it's a pre-Karate Kid. Okay. So, and before he went Daniel LaRusso. Danielson! Wax on!
And of course, you know, Ralph has gone on to pretty much be the Karate Kid.
Yeah. Then Dally Winston.
Yep.
Dally. Played by... Who played him?
Matt Dillon. I can't believe I keep saying Damon. The first time I understand, because as I was reading that list, I'm like, who am I leaving out? I wanted to make sure I got the bigs when I was talking about that.
Yeah.
But, I was like, damn it, who am I leaving out? And that's why I made that mistake.
Well, then, it's hard not to put Matt Damon in everything, because he's just everywhere, you know. Everywhere you look, oh, hey, there's Matt Damon.
This movie came out in 1983. How old was Matt Damon in 1983?
Yeah. But anyway, so Matt Dillon, he's another one. He's been everywhere.
Oh my God, Drugstore Cowboy, Wild Things. I can just it's only a couple I can think of.
Academy Award nominee.
Absolutely.
Know, he just
Flamingo
Kid.
Yeah.
Did too much to sit here and.
Yeah, we could go on about that forever.
Yeah. The next guy, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him.
Probably not.
He played Derry Curtis. His name Patrick Swayze.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's done. He's done something.
He's done a few things. I think he was in this like low budget movie called Roadhouse.
Yeah.
And then he did a paranormal movie called Ghost,
where he had a three way with Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore.
God, I don't know that I want a three-way that bad.
But yeah, he's one of those that
he was voted icon.
Yep. You know, he was voted People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive. One of the most iconic things that I remember him doing is on Saturday Night Live with Chris Farley doing the Chippendales
yep.
dancing Absolutely. Competition, yep. and I laughed my ass off.
Yeah.
And that is hilarious. But yeah, he'd done a lot of stuff. He unfortunately passed away back in 2009. I believe he had stomach cancer.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, and he was a singer-songwriter. He did one of the songs from
She Like to Win.
Yeah, from a movie, I believe it was. What was it?
There was something about dancing, wasn't it?
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah,
something like that.
Nobody puts a food baby in the corner.
Except me. What are you, 36? I'm her dad. Okay, oh, I stole that from Family Guy.
There you go.
Anyway, if you don't know who Patrick Swayze is, you've been under a rock somewhere.
That is absolutely true. You need help.
Yeah.
Get out.
And then there was Soda Pop, Soda Curtis.
Yep.
Which was Rob Lowe.
Oh, yes,
He's
Rob Lowe.
He's done one of those.
Rob Lowe's done a lot of things. Some of them good, some of them not so good.
making videos. His home stuff ain't real good.
I don't watch that. Yeah. You might get a call from the cops, too.
But he's another one of those. He got just a lift of...
I think his most iconic role ever was in Wayne's World.
Think so? Or Say No. I would say No Most Fire.
Wayne's World.
Well, Wayne's World, too. But I'm still going to go Say No Most Fire. I'm going to disagree.
Listen, Wayne's World was a joke. I'm not saying the movie was a joke. I'm just saying.
No, it was a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie, and I enjoyed Rob Lowe's performance in it.
I believe he was in part two, wasn't he, though? Wayne's World 2?
Oh man! I thought he was in one, but I have to go back and check it out.
We'll go to that movie.
I wonder if it'll show on this here. I know he's. Say No Most Fire, an amazing fucking movie, dude.
Yeah, I love that movie. Yeah, we'll have to do that one sometime too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, once again, there's a cast, of
the all star cast for the time,
Yeah.
Right now he's doing that 911 Lone Star.
Yeah, and he's
I love that show.
It's a
great show.
I just got 1992 Wayne's World.
Okay. So that was
Outsiders was his first movie too, huh?
Yeah, I believe so. A lot of these.
Young Blood, that was the hockey one. About Last Night, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look and just see. I'm just gonna hit the highlights here. Tommy Boy. Oh, I forgot about Tommy Boy. That was a good one. Austin Powers. Austin Powers, the Spy Who Shagged Me. Austin Powers, a gold member. There you go. That's just a few.
Yeah. Okay. And the next one, 2-Bit Matthews, Keith 2-Bit Matthews. Emilio
Estevez.
Emilio Estevez. He's... Most noted for the Mighty Ducks.
Absolutely.
Or Charlie Sheen's brother. Martin Sheen's son.
Yeah. One of my personal favorites of his is Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, yeah. Great movie. The Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about The Breakfast Club.
That's probably the first thing that a lot of people... a movie that I like personally was Free Jack, and I don't know, I don't think many people know that movie too well.
I don't think I know that one.
It was with Mick Jagger. He was the race car driver, and at the end, I got it, been so long since I've seen it.
1992 on Free Jack, by
yeah,
the way.
And he was getting into an accident. He was an Indy car driver, and as the car was getting ready to hit something, he flashes into the future to go help Mick Jagger out with something.
Mm. Another great one. His first movie was called Badlands. I don't know. That was in 1973. That was 10 years before The Outsiders came out. So go think about that. One of his biggest iconic roles as Billy the Kid
in Young Guns.
Yeah.
And Young Guns. Make you famous.
Make you famous. Of course, he was in Mission Impossible. Killed in the first 10 minutes of the fucking movie.
Sign of a good movie
when you can kill Emilio Estevez off in the beginning.
You kill a star.
Yep.
At the beginning of the movie, that is anything possible.
That's right. You better bring it. You better bring it. But yeah, an amazing, iconic actor.
Yeah. The next guy, I don't know who he is.
Name
Steve
familiar.
Randall, I think Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's that Tom Cruise guy.
I'm not even sure what the character Steve. I remember him from the movie, but I can't remember what his part was.
He was just he was just one of the guys that kind of flowed in and out.
Yeah,
I mean, he
before
really...
Tom Cruise got his teeth fixed.
What does his filmography look like?
Tom Cruise. Another one of those where we could do a whole podcast just on what he'd done. Risky Business, I believe, was his first one.
Yep.
Great movie.
He was in Endless Love was his first movie in 1981.
Oh, my bad.
He was in Taps. Was that the Taps with that I'm thinking of?
Well, that is not
the Taps that I'm thinking of. That's with Sean Penn and Evan Handler.
Okay.
It's a George C. Scott film, so not the one that I was thinking of. I was thinking Taps with Bill Murray. Risky Business, All the Right Moves, Legend, Top Gun, Color Money, Cocktail, Rain Man, Born on the 4th of July, Days of Thunder, A Few Good Men, The Firm, Interview with the Vampire, Mission Impossible, Jerry Maguire.
Show me the money.
Fucking shit, dude. I mean, it's Vanilla Sky sucked. Eyes Wide Shut sucked. But other than that, everything this guy touches is fucking gold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Eyes Wide Shut. That's one of those movies.
You only watch the scene Nicole Kidman naked.
Yeah, and you watch it and you're just like, what the fuck am I watching?
Rock of Ages, Jack Reacher, Oblivion, Edge of Tomorrow,
The Mummy.
That Mummy wasn't that great.
No.
I did watch him in Dead Reckoning a few nights ago. I recommend it, but remember, it's a 3-hour movie and it's only part one.
And he is a Scientologist, so take that for what you want.
Whatever you want, yeah. Who is, in all honesty, who is Glenn Winthrow?
Glenn Winthrow. I don't know. Oh, let's see. It's not showing. The Outsiders, Rumblefish, Peggy Sue Got Married. Basically, it was a buddy of Francis Ford Coppola because he was in like five.
Yeah, I don't really know anything. Cotton Club, The Patriot, Armed and Dangerous. That was with John Candy.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop 2. So, I mean, I need to see a picture.
He'd been out there, I mean.
Yeah. He's doing. Yeah. But I don't know him right off the top of my head.
No. And then the next one is Sherry Cherry.
Because she was a redhead.
Yes. Yeah, because she was a redhead. Valance. And she was played by Diane Lane.
Diane Lane. Once again, another icon.
Yep.
A good-looking woman right there. Good Lord.
Made her film debut at the age of 14 in a movie called A Little Romance.
Oh.
In 1979.
Mm. Okay.
And then, Little Big Town Lady. I say the movie that put her into star status, and I've not seen it. It's called Streets of Fire.
Yeah, Streets of Fire.
I don't know that movie.
I do believe it was... wasn't that a movie about, I thought it was about running, but apparently not.
It could be. I don't know. She was in the miniseries Lonesome Dove, which she was nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award. Just another one of those, just up to today, still out there doing her thing. And
yeah. Absolutely. Okay. A good-looking woman, too.
A good-looking woman. Yes, she is. Ain't no doubts. Then Bob Sheldon, played by Leif Garrett.
Yeah. I'm sure you've all heard of Leif Garrett.
Wasn't he more known as a musician back in the day?
Yeah, he probably got into this just to do a little acting for fun. But,
because he was a teen idol in the 70s and played the teenager in the 80s.
Go figure that one.
Did you do any Leif Garrett?
No. I don't know that I could tell you a Leif Garrett song right off the top of my head. I could look, but that is not a good-looking man, though. Let me tell you.
You would have thought he would have been one of the greasers, not a soche,
Yeah, you would think, but it didn't fall that way, so...
No. And then I'm trying to look down at some of these.
To see if some of the names pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Waits and Buck Merrill. I've heard that name.
Tom Waits is a, Tom Waits, you probably know, he's an American musician, composer, singer, songwriter. Yeah. He is actually kind of a Bob Dylan style guy. I guarantee that if I could find you one of his songs that you would know.
I know. I've heard of
him. Yeah, I most definitely have heard of John Waits' music. Yeah. I just can't think of, and I know people are going to be pissed at me, but I can't think of like one of his big hits right up the top of my head. But yeah, he is definitely an iconic singer-songwriter.
Did he do Missing You? No, that was John Waits.
That was John Waits. Carl is a big fan of Tom Waits. He plays a lot of his stuff on his acoustic set. So,
let's see.
Will Smith was in it as a store clerk.
Will Smith.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But there were like some cameo uncredited appearances from some unknowns at the time.
Uh-huh.
Sophia Coppola, the daughter of Francis Ford, and a very fine director in her own right. She was credited as Domino.
Right on.
She played the child acting the greaser for 15 cents. Why would you act the greaser for 15 cents?
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And then...
Hey, mister, you got 15 cents? Beat a kid.
Beat a kid.
I think they come up to the car when they're, don't they come up to the car when they're out getting lunch and before they go back to the...
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Essie Hinton played Dally's nurse. I'm not sure who she is.
Essie Hinton wrote The Outsiders.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of an actor.
You're killing me, Frankie.
I, I'm tired, man. I'm trying. Okay. Brief uncredited appearances included Melanie Griffith.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Heather Langenkamp.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Melanie Griffith with Working Girl, something she did. Married Don Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Heather Langenkamp, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yep.
Or Heather Langenkamp, Nightmare on Elm Street. So she's iconic for that. Nicolas Cage, Francis Ford Coppola's nephew.
Go figure that one.
And bassist Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And Cam Neely, former NHL player, all played Uncredited appearances as rival gang member during the Rumble scene.
There you go. So when you go back to watch The Outsiders, see Pink, see Flea.
Yeah.
Guaranteed you'll be like looking extra, extra hard.
Wouldn't he? His little ass wouldn't seem like it'd be hard to find him, you know?
I wouldn't think so, but.
Like, he's right there.
Yeah, you see him? You see him? You see him? Oh, crazy. All right, Frankie. The Outsiders.
Yeah, I recommend watching the movie. Don't listen. It's a lot better than the way I read it. But, I didn't do my rewatch because I was watching another movie that we'll be doing later on.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
It's okay. I mean, The Outsiders is one of those movies that, you know, once you get into it and start remembering how it all plays out, you've seen it so many times, it's just boom, boom.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and I definitely 100% go watch it and then watch it again. Because it's that good, and, you know, there's just a lot of.
But once again, it's the whole Miami Vice thing all over again. For starters, look at all of these actors that have the co-starring leads. You know, Matt Dillon, Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez, C. Thomas Howell, Ralph Macchio, and Tom Cruise. I mean, all young actors, and then you put them all in this one fucking movie. This is all some of these guys. This is their first flick. And look what they went on to do. Amazing things. And now you get a chance to go back and watch it and look for Melanie Griffith and look for Flea, look for Nick Cage in this movie because they're fucking in there and you never knew that. So, unbelievable.
Here's my question for you, Golden Jay.
Yeah.
If they were to make this movie with these actors at what they became... What would the budget be to pay all these actors?
Oh, shit.
To,
I mean,
you to know, what they made at their heights, you know?
I mean,
You're talking just to pay these actors.
Just to pay them to start off with. I mean, you're probably looking what? Let's just say you have, there's seven of them. I mean, right off the bat, $10 million. Crews probably want more than that now.
Yeah.
But I mean, even if you just stopped at $10 million, that right there, just for the actors, is $70 million. That didn't even roll the first thing of film, plus getting all your backups and stuff like that. And that's being, I think, lowballing to get them for $10 million.
Oh yeah, because these are very, you know, Patrick Swayze before in death and before he got ill, very highly.
Yeah. Sought after
and made a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And every one of them are the same way. Even Ralph Macchio, he still has a price. I mean, he's mostly known.
You probably get him for $7 million.
Yeah. I mean, mostly known for The Karate Kid. That's a bit, but.
Maybe six.
But he makes a lot of money for that notoriety of being, you know.
Absolutely. So, I would say $70 million right off the top. The budget would be just to. Did you get those seven actors?
Yeah,
but,
I mean, you couldn't do it now.
No. Well, you probably could because I think if
you could get seven young actors, but you couldn't get
those. Yeah, you weren't going to get those actors.
I don't know that you could ever get lucky to look back at a movie that you've done,
right,
and be like, oh my God, look at all those actors I had at the time. They were nobody. Now,
yeah, exactly.
I made them. You know, I mean, Francis Ford Coppola got to say that. I made them.
It's true. That's true. And he's made a lot of things like that. Yeah. So he's very impressive. But pretty crazy to think about. Pretty crazy to think about. The Brat Pack.
The Brat Pack.
All right, Frankie. We need to get out of here.
All right.
Thank you guys for checking out the Golden 80s. If you enjoyed the episode, shoot us an email. TheGoldenImage80s@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Facebook. We do have a Facebook page. We also have an Instagram page, so you can go check it out, either one of those. Or you can go check out Golden Mojo ENT. You can go check out our pages on there, and definitely check out the merch page. If you love us, then you might like somebody else in the Empire, which include the Call Guys, Golden Image Podcast, United States Paranormal, Indiana Chiefs fans, And of course, you can always check out the backlog of Murder Nerds and A Court of Books and Booze. So go show your love for the Empire. Yes. Golden Mojo Entertainment.
Please do.
Yes. Please do. All right, Frankie. Till next week, buddy.
Till next week.
All right. Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista. I'll be back. Later. Late.